Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
So I'm here tonight to tell you that the I Will girl is an amazing woman. She's you. She's a girl next to you. She's a girl in front of you. She's a girl not here yet, because she needs to learn who she is so she can come and sit and dive in and get healed and do what God's called her to do. And so we learned last time that the I will girl says yes to God. So go back and get that lesson. Number two, she says yes to the plan of God. You know, we can make all of our own plans. We can prep things out. I don't know about you, but I'm a great planner. And what I've learned living with my husband, who is not a planner, is fly by the seat of your pants and do whatever you want. Stephanie's laughing because she's the administrator. And so she knows. And I can't keep a plan for the life of me. And I have to be okay with that. And you know what it does? It just gets me ready for whatever God asks me to do. He will interrupt your day and you say yes to God's plan. And he moves you into new places and he takes you into new territory. But I believe tonight that God wanted me to tell you something before we start in the third part of the I Will Girl. Tonight he wanted me to tell you, number one, Pastor Michelle actually already started this out. He said, he chose you. God wanted me to tell you tonight that somebody listening online or somebody in this room, that you are chosen by God. That he loves everything about you. You go, no, he doesn't like this part of me. No, he does. He might want to redeem it. He might want to call that back and like work it out. But he loves it because he gave you that part. And God's going to show us how to do it well. You see, God loves you so much that he loves all of you. Not just some of you, but all of you. He loves the ugly you and the happy you and the mean you and the grumpy you and the quirky you and the funny you. He loves all of you. He loves the girl who woke up and her hair is all messed up and her makeup is running down her face. He loves the girl that gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning for the crying baby. He loves the girl that gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work. He loves the girl that says that she's going to pray over that husband who is not serving God and doing what he needs to do, but she's committed to see God come through when she doesn't even see it yet. She knows he loves that girl. He loves that girl who's worried and insecure. He loves the girl who is alone and says there's no one there. And God says, I'm here. I'm here. I love you. The I Will girl embraces the love of God. The I Will girl is loved by the creator of the universe. The I Will girl is somebody who catches the sparkling apple of God's eye. You say, I've never been that for anyone. Yes, you have. You just haven't seen yourself this way. And I pray that as we go through this, you see yourself in a new light. That you begin to see yourself, and I'm preaching to myself right now, the way that God sees you, not how others see you. Not how the world wants to define you, not what your past says about you, not what your future looks like, because we can do those future things and, well, in this many years, have you seen those things where they tell you how what you're going to look like when you're 20 years from now? Don't do that. It's horrible. Just embrace the wrinkle at a time. Come on, you earned those, man. Like, let's embrace who we are, because God loves the mess up. He loves the happy. He loves all of us. Isn't that good news? I hope that blesses somebody tonight. He sacrificed it all for you. Everything he had, he poured out for you. When you mess up, he forgives you. That's good news, isn't it? When you mess up, he loves you more. When you hate and you're frustrated and you do things very, very wrong, because I've done that, guess what he does? He says, if you're willing to listen, I'd like to redirect you back into my grace and my mercy so that you can get back on track and follow my plan and get off of your plan. That's good. Thank God for his mercy and grace in these moments. This is who your God is. You can't be an I Will girl until you understand who you're serving and who you're following and why you're doing what you're doing. This is God. God alone, omniscient, omnipower. He is the one who cherishes you. He is the one who sings over you. When they talk and when they revile you, he sings and he intercedes on your behalf. When the enemy comes knocking at your door to break open your heart and to rip out the things that he thinks God is putting in there, that God says, oh, you don't get to mess with my girl. I planted the seeds of goodness in her heart. I planted the glory of God in her life. guys, this is not just through Pastor Jess, Pastor Michelle, Pastor Teresa. This is through you and your life. Your life is valuable, and he loves you, and he cherishes you. He is in love with everything about you. I want you to stop for a minute, and I want you not to think about the negative, but I want you to think about, for a moment, he loves me. Just close your eyes. Just let him tell you he loves you. He just loves you. He loves you. This God right now, this intimate God, wants to talk to you tonight. He wants to commission you tonight. In John 3:16, it says, we all know the verse, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his only, one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That is personal self-sacrifice for the betterment of you and I. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the word love in this scripture, in John 3:16, it comes from the Greek word agape. I met Pastor Michelle, you were prophetic today. You didn't know that I was saying all this. But agape means beloved. It means cherished. Isn't that good? You are his beloved. You are his cherished. Guess what? It means love in action as well. That means God is running after you. In this verse, God came for you. He actually sought you out. Have you ever had somebody seek you out because they're so in love with you? I mean, we see this in the movies, right? We see it in the Hallmark movies where the guy gets girl, guy loses girl, guy runs after girl, gets her again. Well, you are in this love story with God that maybe you have disconnected yourself because of sin or some type of something pulled you away from God at one time. But God was always running after you. God was always seeking you out. God was always valuing who you are. That's good news. Because we live in a world that tears us down. We live in a world that picks us apart. We live in a world that tells us how to believe and what we should believe. We live in a world that lives according to the things of Satan, the ruler of this world. He is a liar and he's a deceiver. He has been attacking the scripture of God today. Today, me and my daughter were talking, we were driving home, and she said, we're just talking about womanhood. You know, I want to fill her up with what's right, not what the world is saying. And she was saying to me, she goes, Mom, I saw this thing on Pinterest, and they said, like, it's all about you. You need to take care of yourself. You need to love yourself. She goes, but I don't know, Mom. That's the opposite of what the word says. That this is not about us. And I go, well, I believe, and she threw out a scripture, I forgot what it was, but this girl, she's so full like her dad, that I just was like, dang, oh, you should preach that message one day. And so, but we said this to each other, we were like, it's okay to have self-care, right? Put on a candle, have a bath, like, you know, go read a good book, go do what you need to do to kind of detox a bit. But when it becomes selfish care, that is, you've gone too far. Because God never told us that it's about us. See, God was the example of coming and doing everything for us, pouring himself out. Why? So that we can be like him as he was on this earth. So God is asking us to actually be selfless. God is asking us to die to ourself and embrace the King of the universe because he gave everything and he was a beautiful example of this. And so in this Greek beloved, cherished woman who God is running after in action, that's good news. I don't know about you, but that right there, I could preach that and go home. Because now it doesn't matter what happens in life. I've got a God on my side. I've got a God running after me. A God who loves me and cherishes me and thinks of me as a beloved. Wow. That's good news. But this I will girl says yes to God. And this yes God, our God, asks us to, ready, here we go, love. So that we say yes to love, the I will girl will choose, number one, to love. That's a hard one this year. Or this past year, or this blur of 2 years. I don't even know where we're at anymore. So much has changed. So many people's personalities have changed. So many people's life patterns have changed. So much. And in it, I wonder if we become numb to the word love. I would challenge Christians again to get back in to loving each other, to overlooking things quickly. 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind, it's long-suffering. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. Oh, some of you are going, oh no, I need to like throw that away. We got to remind ourselves of these things, because when we do these things, we are out of the blessing and the covering of what God is asking us to be. And so God is saying the I will girl will choose to love. Listen, guys, you might have been hurt this year by people. You might have gone through trauma and lost someone in your family. I've lived that. We're living it. We're almost coming up on a year. We're working through. You push through. Those are traumas. Those are things that change your patterns of life. Those are things. But the I will girl says, even though this has been hard, even though I feel like I've been tainted or things have been said or whatever, I'm going to choose even though to love. I'm going to choose even though to love. These are not going to be easy circumstances. You might have been betrayed. You might have been let down. You might have been dismissed. Maybe you weren't good enough. Maybe you were dismissed for the color of your skin. Maybe you were dismissed because you're a woman. Maybe you were dismissed because your voice is annoying. Maybe you're dismissed. Who knows what people have in their heads towards you. But I'm here to tell you, God didn't dismiss you. He has called you. And he hasn't put you to the side or put you on a pedestal or on the side table next to the couch. But God has put you on display and said, no, 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 this is my daughter. And she is choosing to walk in love. That means that I'm going to do something in her because she chose to carry this out as I am. You see, God is love. And so when we feel that we've been dismissed or we've had these things, maybe you felt alone. I was in a conversation with somebody just recently, and they were just so alone. They were so alone. And I'm not kidding. I probably hear this probably 4 or 5 times a week from different people. I just feel so alone. I believe that this pandemic has let people think that they don't have friends and that they don't have people around them and that there's nobody that loves them. And listen, what you're feeling and what you're hearing, I'm telling you, 5 other women are feeling and hearing the same other thing. You're not alone. Tonight we need to remind ourselves, I'm not alone. I was never alone. God loves me. He knows me. I'm never alone. I may not see what I want to see in the natural, but in the supernatural, I have everything I need. And then you begin to get in faith and ask God for new friends and new crowds of people and new things happen. I'm telling you, God is doing something new. And Pastor Dan preached this year. It's a new day. That means that there are new things on the horizon. There's new wineskin. There's new oil. There's a refreshing coming on the rock. There's something that is pouring out on us as God's women. And those of us that want to have this outpouring, we are going to run after the love of God. Because in it, it's a hard place to go. Believe me. Ask Teresa. She gets the good side of me. I don't feel like loving today. I don't want to love today. I'm mad today. Well, guess what? It's okay. You can be angry, but don't sin. You are human. You're going to have those feelings. But you have them, and then you say, but I'm going to choose to love. And you may need, I love Pastor Joey's message, I think it was Sunday night, and he said, you need some think time. Go separate yourself. Go get alone with God. Go allow him to work through you and do a process in you. God's working on me in some things that I've been doing just in this season. And God has led me to some really beautiful places. And every morning I'm doing these deep things with the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you give God time, he will begin to pull something out of you that you never knew was in him. But you need to choose God. You have to choose love. You have to choose that you want to be with God more than you want to be with man. That's a hard one, because when we're with someone physically, it satisfies our flesh, right? And we feel good about ourselves. And don't you love those like groups of people that are always together having fun? I'll tell you right now, there may be some emptiness happening there, because you can have all the people around you and have no God and you are all alone. But you can have God and no one around you and you are totally satisfied, because we were never built to not have God. But God never called us to do life alone. Isn't that a good news? So he wants us to have him and each other. So look around. These are girlfriends. We are the girls. We are Christians. We love each other. We're all here for the same purpose. That means that we are called to do life together. Isn't that good news? And so when we choose love, that means we choose God. We are saying yes to God because God is love. Let's start with this. God chose you, and if he is the creator of all, and he knows all, and he sees all, that means he sees your good and your bad, your ugly and your awesome, right? He sees all, and he chooses to love you anyways. And I think that if God can do that for me, then I can choose to love others. And I just have to remind myself, as I'm reading scriptures and I'm seeing God and how he responds to even his disciples who betrayed him, talked about him. Even as these were the closest people to him. When I see how God handled himself and he didn't have to defend himself when he went up and he was going to be crucified and he didn't even speak to defend himself. Why? Because he knew his call. He knew what he had to do and he didn't have to go there because he was God. And you see, love is confident. God is confident. Love is secure. God is secure. Love is strong. God is strong. So when we choose to walk in love, that means we choose to step into confidence, strong, and secure. And we then ourselves in our insecurity, because every human is insecure, guys. Everyone. Men, it usually comes out as pride. And for women, it comes out as insecurity. But all of it is about us. And so when we step aside from us and we step into who he is, we can stand in confidence, we can stand in strength, and we can stand in a stride that heaven is walking out. I don't know about you, but I want to walk out heaven's stride. I don't want to do this on my own. Loving people is another layer of God's love. Loving people is a choice, and loving someone is not always easy, but it is something we choose. We give ourselves and we give to God. People is what God is about. That's good news, right? That God's about you, God's about your neighbor, God's about all of us. So when I choose to love people, then I am under the blessing of God. He loves us. He comes for us, the sinner and the saved. He has sought us out. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he first loved us. It's really hard to love someone when you haven't embraced the love of Jesus first. When you can embrace who God is first, then you can understand how to love someone else. Because you will not be able to love someone else in your own ability. Because our flesh will get in the way, right? Our mindset, our anger, our whatever, our judgment, we can judge people quickly. Not in church, Pastor Jess. No, especially in church. And God says, you need to see how I love you so that you can learn how to love others. I want to address loving people. And you say, why? Why is this so important? Why is loving people so important? I really don't care for people. I just want to come to church. I want to do my thing. I want to go home. And especially like if you're an introvert, you're like, I love my alone time. Like you're telling me and pushing me to go be with other people. I'm not okay with this. Well, listen, talk to God about it because he talks about it a lot. So you got to deal with that with God because God says it's a big deal to him and people are essential to God. You know, we went through this whole year of what's essential and what's not essential. And I was just like dying inside like God is essential. People are essential. Like, gathering is essential. The Bible says it. But all us Christians went, ah! And I felt like, whoa, come back, dude. What are you doing? First of all, the whole redemptive story is he died on that cross for our sin and our shame. And for our sickness and our disease, and to give us eternal life when we pass. So everything we were afraid about this year, God already covered it on the cross, and it was a done deal already. You see, he's essential. God already covered it for us. Why? Because you're essential. Because God already saw you. Satan thinks you're essential to take out. He thinks you're essential to wipe out. He thinks you're so essential to tear down and break down and to build fear in you. That's what this thing has been this year. Murderous spirit and a fearful spirit combined together. It's evil. And I'm telling you right now, God says, you either believe my word, women of the Most High God, and you begin to step back into the I will girl who says that God said, and so therefore I believe it. Because we have to have this gun hole, like, heck no, love for Jesus. I love my kids so much that when someone comes after my kid, guess what happens? Mama bear rises up, right? I found out this week that I do that with my staff, too. I didn't even know that was in me. I felt like people were picking on them. I was like, what? I had to go repent. And so, but we can do that, right? We can be mama bears. Did you ever think that God is like father bear? Like, hey, don't pick on my kids. Don't touch my anointed. Don't you dare start ripping apart what I put together. You see, God already paid the price because people are essential to God. People are essential to God. When we drive past the homeless person, I need you to remember they are human, that God loves them, that we have to somehow make a way for them to feel like they have an identity, that they are important. You see, we have to find the compassion of God in this life because we may not have it, but he does, so we could pull on him and ask him to bring it for us. Let's look at the word in this. Jesus is speaking to his disciples right before he died on the crucifixion. He knows he's leaving and he's not coming back. And so he says some things to him, things for them to live by for the rest of their life. So can you imagine God speaking? Jesus just sitting at the table, hanging out. He's just talking to us. Well, that's what he's doing right now because this is not me speaking. This is the Holy Spirit talking to you. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know exactly what he said to the disciples all those years ago because he loves you and he cherishes you. But before we do that, we're going to talk about two different groups. I'm sorry, I fast-forwarded. We're going to talk about two different groups of people that God loves because they're essential. Okay, two different groups. You ready? These aren't points, they're groups. So I'm so used to like points, like point one, point two, point three. So I have 1 point in two groups, okay? And so group A, we love each other. The believer loves the believer. You go, well, of course, duh. Why do you even need to preach about this? Of course we love each other. Well, then why don't you actually act like it? Because I'll tell you, I would have a lot less stress and trauma going on in my life if people actually played this out and did what the Bible said. But we as believers who sit under the word of God, who hear the word of God, who go into worship and, oh, take all of me, God. And then we walk out and we're like, oh, sister so-and-so, you know, did you know, da-da-da-da-da. And we are not walking in love. But we're biting and we're devouring and we're ripping apart what God ordained. Whew. I'll tell you right now, watch out. Because God says, don't touch what he has anointed. Don't go there. Because God loves you. And God cherishes you. So we're going to talk about this as Christians. We have to speak the language of love. This is what the Lord spoke to me on that front row. He said, my language in heaven is love. And so when you just choose to not speak the love language, you are cursing yourself. But when you choose love, like I'm asking you to, when you choose to speak the love language of 1 Corinthians 13, so go do that study for yourself because I can't go through all those scriptures tonight. But when you learn those scriptures, when you live this out and you actually walk this out, you will receive blessing from heaven. And I will pour out on you, and you will have favor. Now listen, if God is telling this to me, he's telling this to you. And I believe God wants us to learn the language of heaven, and heaven speaks love. And we as believers are commanded by Jesus to do this. And so now he's giving this commandment to his disciples, and he says in John 13, 34 through 35, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Got it? This is a new one. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. What does that mean? It means people are watching us. They're watching how we speak about each other. They're watching how we judge each other. They're watching how we have an attitude towards one another. They're watching how we respond to other things that are happening in the world. They're watching if we get angry quickly. They're watching. That's intimidating, right? I have some family, and they always talk about their unsaved family. And they say, my unsaved family, and they live in Vegas, and they're like, they always say to me, why would I want to serve your God when I see Christians acting the same as I do? You see, they're watching us, and Jesus is saying to us, knock it off, church. Love each other. Because this is the commandment. This is what I'm asking you to do. Love each other the same way I have loved you. I don't know about you, but that brought conviction on me. Like, ooh, I need to fix some things. I need to do this right. So when we love each other as Christians, we love as Jesus loved. I want to take a moment, and I want you to think about a time that you felt loved by God. Like this overwhelming moment. Maybe it was a time that God healed you from something you couldn't get healed from. Maybe it was a financial blessing that you were like, that had to be God. Like, there's no way that could have happened until God got on the scene and made that happen. Maybe it was healing between something or somebody that you just didn't think could ever be reconciled, and God just somehow knitted your hearts back together. I want you to just take a moment and think about that online and in person. I want you to have some reflection time about God's love for you. In John 15, 12 through 13, it says, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. Now that you remember how God loved you in that moment, let's try and remember that so that we can love others in their moments. Good? Verse 13, there's no greater love than to lay one's life down for one's friend. Do you know that God calls you the friend of God? You are a friend of God. It's funny because there's so many layers to God. I've had God my redeemer. I've had God my rescuer throughout my life. I've learned who God is as my God, my sovereign. But I'll tell you right now in this season that I'm in, I'm learning how God is my friend. It's been I love this isolation time. I kind of enjoyed this moment because I had to learn different sides to God. I never really had to learn because they were filled with other things. And the Lord sees you as his friend. Isn't that good news? And that a true friend sticks closer than a brother. Well, he laid his life down for his friends. He laid his life down for you. That's the beauty of his love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, most important of all, continue to show. It says deep love, deep. That means rooted love that can't be pulled up. We've talked about this in AM. If my AM girls are here, you know what we've been talking about, the root of the heart, the seed that is sown. If you have not gotten it, go back on our app and get those series because God is rocking us in that series. But when we have deep-rooted roots that can't be shaken, that can't be wiped out by the storms, that's how God's love is for you. It's so deep that it won't be shaken out of you, that it will be so deep that you can embrace it. Verse 13, that there is no greater love than one who lays down his life. And First Peter 4:8, the deep love for each other, a love that covers a multitude of sins. Ooh, I don't like this one, Pastor Jess. We're Christians. We sit together in church. We hear the same messages. They should know better. I've had those thoughts. I've been really angry at times. But I'll tell you right now, we cover each other in love. We say, you know, I don't understand, but I love them. I'm going to cover this in love, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to ask God to work some things out in them. Because no matter what we say as humans, when God shows up and says it, it's like so much better. And to have those God moments are redeeming for people. So cover your brother and sister. Love them. Don't uncover them. Pray for them. Work it out in your heart. Take it to the Lord. Journal it out. Go to Breaking Free. Do what you gotta do so that you can cover them in the multitude of their sins. When our Christian brother or sister is wrong and on the wrong path, we have a responsibility to warn them. I've heard too many and watched too many Christians sit on the sidelines and go, ooh, oh, they're doing it wrong. Oh, they're a mess. Why are we not saying, hey, you're headed the wrong direction? Why? Because you'll be the one that becomes the target, right? And nobody wants to be the target. But I feel like God is saying, I need some Christians to stand up and to begin to hold each other accountable again and hold other Christians to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is where it stands and where it's final. And maybe they won't like you. Too bad. Guess what? Be okay with that. Because their heart and their eternal soul is more important than you being liked by them. And I felt like the Lord was saying, He was saying this thing. Love your brother and your Christian brother and sister. Here's an example. If you knew somebody was drinking poison and it was killing them, would you tell them or would you stop them? If it was your child, you would say, no, don't drink that. Don't drink that. That's going to hurt you down the road. That's going to end up killing you, right? But then why don't we do that as Christians to each other? Because sin will end up killing them. Sin will end up taking them down the path road that they can't come back from. And Satan is pulling them down to hell while we are watching our brother and our sister fall by the wayside. And God is saying, Church of the Living God, I am asking you to be holy as I am holy. I am asking you to put the word to work again. I'm asking you to step in and be the I will woman that says, I don't care if I'm popular, but your soul matters. And this is about kingdom. This is about eternity. And if I have to drag you into heaven with me, I'm going to make sure I've done everything I know how to do. Because when you get to heaven, you will be accountable for that. If you saw it and you did nothing about it, God will say, why didn't you warn them? You didn't love them enough. This is a hard message, guys. In fact, I have a second part and I think I have to stop because my time is done. But I'm telling you, we got to love each other, guys. Because if we don't love each other, the world is going to look at us and go, psh, why do I want that God? Why do I want to be like them? I can just do this myself. This is not a good witness. And God paid too much of a price. He did too much for us to not shout Jesus from the rooftops, to shine and be a light into this dark world. This is what our love does when we love each other. It's a light to those that cannot see. Galatians 6, 1 through 2 says, Dear brothers and sisters, another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly and should gently and humbly. Now listen, I haven't always done this well, so I'm working on that side of me, okay? So maybe you need to pray and figure out a nice way to say it in love. Not just like, hey, you're stupid. Don't be doing that. Don't do that because that doesn't work so well. So he's saying, do it gently and humbly and help the person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation. I want to go back to this gently and humbly. I was talking to Pastor Dan last night. And I was like, babe, I know I need to work on this part of myself because I'm just like, blah. And I just say things when I see it. And I know it offend people and da da da. And he's like, well, isn't it better? Like, and I'm like, yeah, but you got to say it with love. He's like, love isn't always soft and nice. Love is sometimes like panicky and like, get out of the street. What are you doing? Love is sometimes a spanking on the butt. Love is sometimes a hard word that's going to cause us to change, a convicting word. You see, sometimes we want to put sunshine and rainbows on love, and God is saying, my love is a multifaceted of things. And when you want to put one stamp on what love is, you're looking at it through the eyes of man. But I, God, am a God who can love, and I'm a God who can warn, and I'm a God who will smite, and I'm a God who will judge, and all of it falls under love. I've heard this so many times, but if he's a God of love, why did he let so-and-so die? Listen, we live in a fallen world. We're all dying right now. You're dying. We all have to get out of here somehow. And Satan himself is working. He is the ruler of this world. We have our own free will. And God warns us. He gives us tools to get out of hell, but he will not make us do anything. You are on your own. You have your own choice. You have your own will. A loving God is saying, I sent that one to you to bring you on another path. I gave you the word over here, and you didn't listen to it. I showed you my love. You will go before your maker one day and go, why didn't you rescue me? And he's saying, I sent this and this and this, and you didn't see me because you were so caught up in you. You see, God is always making a way of escape because that's what love does. God judges those things that will lead you to hell so that you turn and you run back to what's righteous and good so you go to heaven. I know this is not a popular message for nowadays, and the Bible's so antiquated, and that doesn't relate to nowadays. It sure as heck does. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's unchanging. It is our strong. It is our strength. It is what we live by. It is what I eat. It's what I drink every day. I cannot get through the day because I'm a hot mess without it. But I'll tell you something. I want to get before my maker one day and know that when I have to give an account for everything that I did, that I can, with a clear conscience, say, I loved in that situation. They didn't see it that way. That's okay. I know I loved. Can you do that? There might be some things that you got to get into the face of people about because they call themselves Christians, but they're not living that way. God is saying, rescue them from this. Verse 2, it says, share each other's burdens. I love that. Share in each other's burdens. In this way, obey the law of Christ. Girls, loving each other's an accountability to each other. I have people I can go to and be like, okay, I feel really messed up right now. I think I'm really messed up. Like, these are the thoughts going through my head. And then they'll be like, yeah, it was a little messed up. Like, you need to fix that. You need to work that out with God. And it's like, okay, all right. And then I can go and I can work that out. But if you say, I don't have anyone like that, you have pastors on this staff that you can come and have a spiritual guidance with, and we can help walk you through scripture. We can help you walk through really hard times. Do not do life alone. Because God is giving us counsel to love each other. I'm going to have to do part 2, Teresa, on this, because we're going to learn how to love the unsaved next time. Because loving each other is so big, we can't love the unsaved if we don't know how to love each other. We just can't. So I want to challenge you this next time until we meet again to love the believer in a new way. It's going to be hard because you're going to be challenged and you're going to feel, like I said, don't they know better? Don't they know the word? And you're going to want to shove the word down their throat because, after all, that's what works. No. Gentle and humbly. Gentle and humbly. I'm going to do it too. Can we all do it together? Awesome. Did you guys get anything from the word today? I know it's just like one point.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.